Let us pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Father, for this morning. Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over everyone that is listening in today, whether they're listening in right now live or that they're listening in later online. We pray, Father, that you really just cover us with your hand. And really bless us this day as we start the day reading your word and praying for the community. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we'll be reading through Psalm 35. And now please turn to your Bible, Psalm 35. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. And let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it to his destruction. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who's like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft, but I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed to my chest. I went about as though I grieved my friend or my brother, as one who laments his mother. I bowed down in mourning. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. Wretches whom I did not know tore at me without ceasing, like profane mockers at a feast. They gnash at me with their teeth. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. I will thank you in the great congregation, in the mighty throng, I will praise you. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those wink the eye who hate me without cause. For they do not speak peace, but against those who are quiet in the land, they devise words of deceit. They open wide their mouths against me. They say, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. You have seen it, O Lord, be not silent. O Lord, be not far from me. Awake and arouse myself for my vindication. Arouse yourself for my vindication, for my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, aha, our hearts desire. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say forevermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. Brothers and sisters, today's message is very simple. It's called being misunderstood. Being misunderstood. So being in a marriage, it's important for there to be good communication. Yet it's far more likely that confusion rather than clarity would arise. So something as simple as discussing with Cadence, my wife, what time to meet, where to meet, what to wear, what to bring, etc., can rapidly escalate into a series of disagreements and heated arguments. Marriage is certainly a training ground for speaking to each other with clarity. And when we have kids, well, more confusion abounds. And I'm just using that as an example, of course, and this applies whether you're married or whether you're single. The question for us is, why do arguments arise out of otherwise innocent dynamics, innocent relationships? How does an otherwise good day tumble rapidly down into a day filled with anguish and frustration? How does order from communicating clearly turn into a chaos of misunderstanding, descending from feeling fulfilled to being utterly hurt by words that are certainly spoken or words that are misunderstood? And the reason, the simple reason, is because there's a sense of injustice when we are being misunderstood. Because at the root of being misunderstood is that the person we're speaking to or the people we're speaking to, they don't just simply misunderstand words that we're saying. It's not just an issue of comprehension. But we believe that a lot of the injustice and the feeling of hurt is because the person we're talking to does not seem to have taken the time and care to really know us and to know where we're coming from in a way that would allow them to overcome the hurdles of misunderstanding. That we are basically feeling hurt because they have not taken the effort to really try to understand us. And the hurt comes from what we believe a lack of care and a lack of relationship. I'm sure many of us have been in that position before. It feels terrible to be misunderstood, especially when you're speaking about something of importance, you're sharing something of importance, and also depends on who you're talking to. Of course, you won't feel terrible if a stranger misunderstands you, but you would feel very differently if a colleague or a friend or your spouse does not understand where you're coming from, and that the relationship begins to break down because of that. Imagine being in the heart of being gossiped about at work, for example. You would feel utterly powerless when there are false rumors that are circulating around you, and yet you really don't even have the option to clarify the true state of what really took place in order to vindicate yourself. Or even imagine if your spouse was telling his or her best friend about you, complaining about you because of something that you did, although you may feel completely justified in what you have done. And I've definitely been there. I've definitely been in a place where I feel like certain things are said about me that shouldn't have been, or there's gossip or whatever it is. And we want to vindicate ourselves. Our gut reaction is that we need to protect ourselves, clarify everything to avoid further miscommunication. And the reason I went to being misunderstood is because Psalm 35 actually touches on that quite a bit. And so there's two passages that cites from Psalm 35. And this is actually about Jesus, because he, of all people in history, have probably been misunderstood the most. In John 10:32, it says this: Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" John 15:25, "But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause." They hated me without a cause. Jesus, of all people, has every right to be angry at his enemies. He has every right to justify himself and say, "Well, on what basis are you mad at me? On what basis do you hate me?" Any person in his position has every right to justify himself and just blame the other person as failing to exercise enough effort to understand him. So what did the Savior do? How did he vindicate himself? Did he stage a protest in the public streets of Jerusalem with his 12 disciples? Did he challenge the Sanhedrin and the Roman government of the unjust witnesses who bore false testimony? Tell people to reform the nation so that everyone would be treated fairly and equally and everyone would be heard and not misunderstood? Did he do all that? I wonder which Bible verses support such a righteous humanitarian behavior. Well, none. There's not a single Bible verse that would support any of that narrative. Because instead of a political figure who championed rights for everyone to be misunderstood, to be understood on their own terms, to be treated fairly and equally, instead we have a powerful image of a Savior who fasted and prayed for his enemies when they fell sick. And what I want to focus on in particular are verses 11 to 14 of Psalm 35. I'm going to read it again. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother, as one who laments his mother. I bowed down in mourning. Now, you may wonder, why am I reading from Psalm 35 about Jesus? And the reality is that when you read within the Bible, they cite Psalm 35 as referring to Jesus. They hate me without cause. What David wrote here, of course, to some extent is a description of when he was being persecuted. But really, David was writing prophetically about his Messiah. He was writing about the other Lord that he was worshiping as well. And this Lord is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And when you read through Psalm 35, you realize that actually much of this applies more so to Jesus. And Jesus, when he was reading this, he realized that this is very much about him too, when he was growing up and he was indulging and learning about these Psalms. And he realized that this is his life ahead. And when you read these verses, you see that this is exactly what happened to him in those days, when the Pharisees, when the Sadducees, when the people that were surrounding him and that they were accusing him of things that did not take place, asking him questions that do not make sense, and that when he provides the right answer, they misunderstand him almost every time. Even his own disciples misunderstood him. And instead of vindicating himself, instead of justifying himself, probably the only person in history that has every right to justify himself for the good of everyone else, what he did instead was that he afflicted himself with fasting. He prayed for his enemies and for the people who misunderstood him. He prayed for them. He fasted for them. He went about as if he was grieving for his friend, for his brother, as one who laments his mother. He would bow down in mourning. And this is a very powerful image, an image that we rarely or barely see in the news. When people are misunderstood, people almost fight to be understood, fight to be heard. But Jesus knows that misunderstanding, confusion, the spirit of deceit, these are all things that are not simply matters of the flesh. He knew that his enemies were deceived by the enemy of all enemies. He knows that the root of their treatment towards him, their poor treatment, their misunderstanding, their refusal to even go beyond their own understanding so that they can understand more of Jesus. All of these things, this treatment is actually a spiritual issue, which only spiritual warfare can resolve. For Jesus to vindicate himself, to justify himself and clarify things, actually it would not resolve the deep-rooted issue we all have towards him, the deep-rooted issue we all have towards God. Because our misunderstanding of God is because we have yet to recognize his love for us. We don't understand his love for us. Nevertheless, that's why Jesus' solution to being misunderstood is actually to love us even more, not to stop where we would normally stop. But he would go one step further to pray and to fast for us, to intercede for us, as he's doing today. As we learn from Hebrews, Jesus is right here next to the Father, being the intermediary and mediator for us on our behalf right now. Jesus would recklessly pursue us even more. When we refuse him, he will keep on pursuing us. And what did he do? He pursued us to the point of death on the cross. It is in this selfless pursuit embodied by the cross, that enemies have a reason then to finally turn from their ways and repent and learn to understand him because of his relentless pursuit of the people of this world, including us before we became Christians, that now we have a reason to be ashamed of our actions, repent and turn back to him and learn to understand him. Jesus was not interested in just being right. He was not interested in simply being understood insofar as his teachings were concerned. It wasn't just an intellectual activity of proving to someone who's right, who's wrong, what's black, what's white. He was not concerned only about that. Jesus was more concerned to transform our hearts by his love to have an engagement, a God encounter. And none of that could have been achieved if Jesus was just a political figure or a person that was championing a cause by, for example, telling us off for misunderstanding him or telling us, you know, why are you hating me without cause? That would not have changed anyone's hearts. And I dare say, probably it would not have changed anyone's minds. And as I was meditating on this, it's very easy for me to vindicate myself, you know, especially as a lawyer, it's very easy for us to justify ourselves and find ways to describe how someone else needs to bear more of an effort to understand the things that we say and so on and so forth. But then I'm always faced with this picture of Jesus, who's probably right now bowing down on his knees, praying for us. Every time, even we as Christians, when we disobey him, because we misunderstand his commandments or we reinterpret his commandments for our own gain. And I'm sure throughout this fast that many of us have reinterpreted what it means to fast, have reinterpreted what it means to pray, have reinterpreted what it means to be part of the church community to our own gain. And that perhaps for many of us, now that the fast is over, that we're now using time to reflect, we realize that we probably could have done more. We probably could have fasted more. We probably could have dedicated more time to pray. We could have probably done more to engage with Jesus, to be intimate with him. But instead of a God that would tell us off and say, yeah, well, tut, tut, Jackie, you should have fasted more, you should have prayed more, whatever that may be. You know, you, if you really understood me, then you wouldn't have done these things. Instead of a God that would put these acts towards us as if to put us to shame, instead, we have a picture of a God who would pray for us, of a God who would fast for us, of a God who would weep for us, of a God who would mourn for us as he would mourn for a brother, as he would mourn for a mother. That is the heart of Jesus. That is the heart of Jesus even when we're walking in sin. That is the heart of Jesus even when enemies pelt rocks at him. If that is the heart of Jesus, even when people twist his words and turn it into something else, he desires for all of us to be transformed by his love, to overcome our misunderstandings, and to actually begin to walk with him. And that is the heart that we should all follow as brothers and sisters in Christ. When people around us misunderstand us, now, it may genuinely because we are not very good communicators. In that case, we need to learn to communicate better. It may also be because the person truly mistook something you said. It could be just an innocent case of misunderstanding. But more often than not, when the misunderstanding prolongs to a level of hurting the relationship, the misunderstanding actually leads to a breakdown in relationship. We know that it's more than merely an issue with words, but an issue of the heart. It is this core heart issue that only our reckless love for that person, that must far outweigh our desire to be right or the desire to vindicate ourselves. Are we willing to fast for that person who misunderstands us? Are we willing to grieve for them? Are we willing to love them in a way that would transcend this misunderstanding for now, and that eventually will bring about greater mutual understanding, greater meeting of the minds and meeting of the hearts? Because that is Christ's concern, even at the cost of his very well-being, even at the cost of still continuing to be misunderstood, even at the cost of his reputation. And that's something that I would like us to reflect on this morning. Sandeep will be playing some music this morning. We don't have live worship, but then it'll be a time for us to just meditate on the message. And maybe just, if you guys can just take another look at verses 11 to 14, and just to meditate on that as we listen to some music. Thanks, Andy. Let us now pray for our community. Let's pray for those people that are right now struggling with cancer and that they're going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for their healing. Pray that they don't feel despair. If anything, that they feel supported and that they feel the strength returning to them because of Jesus' healing. Let's pray for that. Pray next for people that are ill but have yet to meet Jesus. Let's pray that they meet with Jesus and receive healing all the same. Let's pray for that right now. Let's pray now for people that have infirmities. Let's pray for all the people on this list. I understand that Henry's mom and dad have had some good developments recently, but I also understand that dad, I think, recently has been hospitalized. And so we pray for healing. We pray for complete healing over them. And we pray that not just for them, but also other people on this list will receive your healing hand and comfort. Let's pray now for the people that are looking for jobs. Let's pray that they're using their time well now and that they also prepare their way and refine their art until the right doors open. Let's pray for that. Let's pray now for Mission Focus. Let's pray for SPNY, opportunities in North Korea. Also, of course, right now we're not going there, but also praying for the ministers that are there right now. Let's pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. And also let's pray for the persecuted churches right now in the Middle East. Let's pray for that. Let's pray next for the Sunday services, the Well, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Spin and Spill Services and Activities, EHS, HWH, and all the meetings that are taking place this weekend. Let's pray for the leaders and pray that people are engaged, even though it's mostly online, and that there's no sense of compromise in the manner of meeting, but the quality of the gatherings will be just as good. Let's pray for that. Let's pray next for Alpha. Let's pray that the people will be guided by the Holy Spirit, both leaders as well as signups. Let's pray for people to sign up, more people to sign up, and pray for protection over the volunteers, that they all can, that right now all the volunteers are preparing their hearts to help out. Let's pray for that right now. Let's pray now for house churches that are meeting today, Hollywood, Mawan, and Southside. Let's pray that they have a lovely time gathering together where they can gather, and pray that will be a fruitful time for the house church. Let's pray for that. Finally, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray that that more and more people would just be protected and healed from COVID-19. Pray for people's hearts to be healed because of the underlying political issues, and that most importantly, right, and as learned from today's message, is that where there's misunderstanding, that we're not just quick to vindicate ourselves, but we're quick to pray for the others. Let's pray for healing of the rift. Let's pray for healing from disease, and just pray for protection over Hong Kong, that we're actually growing and moving in the right direction, not just moving into a direction that we think is right. Let's pray for that right now. Let's now pray for some individuals in our community. I think this is Ka Ui So, unfortunately if I'm butchering your name. Let's pray for salvation of family and friends, and for strengthening of the faith. Let's pray for that right now. You now pray next for Grace Leung from Fontana House Church. Pray for her to see God's glory in her community. Pray for her to walk in new strength, and pray for her father and her brother to encounter Jesus. Let's pray for Zhong Yushin from Lido House Church. Let's pray for friends salvation, Lin and Ming, their fetus's health. And let's pray for helper, Rumi's marriage and family relationships. Let's pray for that right now. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Lord, may we go away and meditate more on Psalm 35 and the verses in the New Testament and the book of John that help us understand that Jesus, of all people, he is misunderstood a lot, and that he is, it's a spiritual issue as much as it is an issue of comprehension. And we just pray that, like Jesus, that we are not quick to vindicate ourselves, but that we're quick to pray for the others, that these misunderstandings and confusions will not cause to relational breakdowns, but that this is really more an opportunity for us to pray more into the relationship, to develop the relationships in a way where we overcome the obstacles of misunderstanding and confusion. And we pray instead for there to be greater and deeper kindling of relationship, that the core of which is caused by our misunderstanding of God and that our willingness to turn to God. Let's pray for that right now. And we pray for a blessing over everyone that is here today. We pray that, Lord, you'll just cover us and protect us this day. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Thanks, guys, for logging in. I pray that we have a good weekend. See you soon.